have your Bibles tonight, you're going to need them. And I would ask you to begin in the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter, if you could find Ephesians chapter number 4. I would also ask that you would take your prayer sheet tonight or something and make some notes on our subject that we will be looking at. We have a series on Wednesday night now entitled, What Does the Bible Say About That? And we are looking at certain areas of our life and certain areas that the Bible speaks about that maybe we would have questions about or topics that would come up in our life. And we looked last week about what does the Bible say about your body. And the Bible has a lot to say about your body. As a believer, your body is the temple of the living God. As a human, your body was created by God. As a believer in Christ, our body is to be sanctified and set apart unto God. It's not for fornication, but the body is for the Lord. The Lord owns our body. When we get saved, we have no right or authority to our body. We said that our body is to be sacred, not that it's to be worshipped or to be wrongfully exalted above the Lord, but we need to see our body in its need to be sacred. Paul said that it's to be offered a living sacrifice unto the Lord. We talked about keeping it clean, keeping it holy. We talked about respecting it as God's creation. And so the Bible had a lot to say about our body. The Bible had a lot to say about our appearance. The Bible had a lot to say about our attitude, had a lot to say about anger and about fellowship. And so, I just flat understand that the Bible has a lot to say, period. And it will do us well to be in the Word of God. I confess to you tonight that I have asked the Lord for the Spirit of God to really work in my heart and in this message tonight. The topic is one that is explosive. It's one that I think it gets a lot of attention from the Word of God. It's one that I'm not sure that people fully understand the depth of this word and this action. And I would dare say that it's possible that all of our lives at some point in time will be affected by this. And that is the subject of bitterness. And I want to preach tonight on what does the Bible say about bitterness. And I confess to you that I did not know the depth of what the Word of God said about bitterness. I would confess to you that I did not think in preparing this message that this message would end where it's going to end. But my goal tonight is simply to read you the Word of God. Bitterness. Bitterly. These are words you will find if you take a Strong's Concordance and you open up that concordance or you go to a concordance in your Bible, and these are the words that you will find that carry with the idea of bitterness. When you take a Bible dictionary and you look up the word bitterness, these are the definitions of the word. The word carries with it anger. If you have a study Bible and you look up the word bitterness, it will link you through into anger and hatred. Matter of fact, the concordance will take you to these words as well. It carries with it the idea of a chafing or to be chafed. We understand what that is in our physical body. We understand how that feels in our physical body. And that is what bitterness has the ability to do. It carries with it the idea of discontentedness, heaviness. It can mean to cut, to prick. It carries with it the idea of pointedness, sharp, keen, to irritate. And it came back to the word hatred. I don't know about you, but I didn't find many pretty words in that description. I would say to you, there are some words that are lacking in that definition. Those words would be hard feelings. Do not misinterpret bitterness for hard feelings. Misunderstanding. Agreeing to disagree. Sometimes we have put to Bible words human definitions because sometimes the Bible definition on a word is too poignant, too sharp for us, and so we kind of soften it some ways. Bitterness is something that is explosive and dangerous in the Word of God. Bitterness is something that I do believe all people, saved and unsaved, will deal with. And I would ask you a question tonight. And I will ask this question in the beginning, and then I will tell you the answer that the Bible says at the end. And so my question would be this: are you a bitter person? Are you a bitter person? Do you carry bitterness? I would like to show you in the Bible where bitterness comes from. In Ephesians chapter 4, you should be there right now. Look, if you would please, at verse number 20 and 21. Paul writing here, he's drawing a comparison to those that have learned Christ in verse number 20. And those who have not learned Christ, or those that are saved and those that are not saved. He says in verse number 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ." And what's the very first word of verse 21? If. Okay, so here's a description. You have not learned Christ if these things are there. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, that word conversation is manner of life, that ye put off the former conversation, the, what are those next two words? The old man. The old man. Now, in our culture, we use the old man sometimes. It can be a term of endearment. It can be a term of disrespect. It could be a term that people refer to older men. But in this context, the Bible is referring to you, to the Christian's old man. Now, when the Bible refers to the old man, he's referring to your sinful nature. He's referring to that part of you that caused the death of Christ. Okay? Just so we understand that in our old man, that sinful nature part of us, there dwelleth no good thing. If you agree with that, say amen. Okay, your sinful nature, Mrs. So-and-so, brother so-and-so, Pastor Tom, my sin nature made Christ have to die, my old man. And my old man was so guilty and wicked that Christ had to give his life. Now, Paul in the book of Ephesians is drawing some contrast here to people. And he's saying, now, if you truly have known the Lord, then you're going to want to put off those things that were in your old man. Now, go down, if you would, please, to verse number 31. When you get down into that verse number 31, after the description of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, verse number 31 says, let all, what's that word? Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All right? So bitterness is something that develops from your sinful nature. hold your hand here and make your way to the book of Romans chapter number 3. Come to Romans chapter 3. I want to show you how the Bible uses bitterness to describe something. Romans chapter 3, and let's pick up in verse number 9. In Romans chapter 3, there's one goal that Paul has in Romans chapter 3. And the goal of Romans chapter 3 is verse number 23. He's writing this chapter to prove, for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 1, he's telling the Gentile, you're wicked and heathen and you need to be saved. Now the Jew would cheer that and say, go get them, Paul. So in chapter 2, Paul says to the Jew, you're wicked and you need to be saved. And so now with the Jew confronted and with the Gentile confronted, in chapter 3, Paul says, by the way, the whole world's wicked. It needs to be saved. Here is a description of sinful nature. If you look then in verse number 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentile that they are all under sin. Now here is a description of humanity in verse number 10. As it is written, this goes back to the Psalms, there is none righteous, no, not one. So nobody is born from their mother good enough to go to heaven. Nobody's born righteous. We're all born under sin. Verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. He goes on to describe my old man and your old man. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit, and the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and, say it, bitterness. So the Spirit of God used the sin of bitterness to expose the sinfulness of humanity. Now, I don't necessarily know that most of God's people understand how much God hates bitterness. Now, we don't want to think that we're old and bitter. So we say things like hard feelings, justified, disagreements. We try to soften that. But the Bible talks about bitterness as being that anger, that hatred, that pricking, that sharpness, that irritation, that chafing, that discontentedness, that heaviness that just springs up in that old man. And it comes from our sinful nature. Pastor, is all bitterness wrong? Because I read in the Bible, and you preached at Mother's Day on Hannah, and Hannah was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed. If you were to go to the book of Esther, you would find that when the nation of Israel found out that Haman wanted to kill all of them, the Bible says that the city cried in bitterness. There are multiple places in the Word of God where there is a good bitter, a bitter that is a heaviness or a discontent because righteousness is being attacked, or there's a lacking there because somehow I'm desiring something from the Lord. Not all bitterness per se is bad, but there is a bitterness tied to our old man that is wicked and ungodly, and wait till you see how the Bible describes it. Make your way, if you would, please, to the book of James. James chapter 3. And this bitterness is defined and outlined for us beautifully in the book of James. We're going to go from the book of James to the book of Acts as an illustration here. But James chapter 3 helps us understand this where this bitterness becomes identified as sinful bitterness. And I'm just going to read one verse right now, and I'm going to come back to this passage. In verse number 14, James says, "But if you have bitter," what are those three words? "Envying and strife in your" what? "Hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth." So we understand that bitterness comes from that old man. We understand that bitterness doesn't so much rest in my feelings. Bitterness rests in my heart. What a statement. What a statement. Because it is in the heart where I am pricked and convicted. It is in the heart of me, of man, that I will be held accountable before God. And so we kind of want to just place bitterness within our feelings. We would not ever want to say that there's bitterness in our heart. But the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart. And it gives us a whole list of things that we do. So James says, sinful bitterness that comes out of that old nature is reinforced and brought forward from two things: envy and strife, covetousness and a selfishness. And James says that that bittering is in my heart, and that is the bitterness that I want to address tonight. And I want to show you some things. Pick, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 8. I'll give you a little demonstration of bitter envying and strife. I think you'll understand it. And there's a statement made about this man that all of us as Christians are going to be forced to deal with and reckon with. In Acts chapter 8, in verse number 14, at this point in time in the book of Acts, the church is on fire with God's power. It is on fire with miraculous moving. And so the men come here, and Peter does, and they come here to Samaria. Verse 14, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." It's another message I could preach. "Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." Okay, so Peter and John come, and they pray for these folks, lay hands on them. They receive the Holy Ghost. Verse number 18, there's a man there named Simon. "And when Simon saw that..." I'm a little hot. Just bump me down just a little bit. Not my temperature. My voice is hot. I can hear it ringing. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them" what? "Money." By the way, the love of money is the root of all evil. "Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Simon had an envious and strifeful motive. He wanted money. Verse number 20. "But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not" what, class? "Right in the sight of God." What a statement. Don't move from there. Don't move from there. But you have a man who saw an attempt to make money through spiritual work. And he manipulates himself to try to do this. And Peter calls the man out. And Peter says, your heart is not right with God. And then he goes on in verse 22. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of what? Bitterness. And in the bond of iniquity. Here is an unsaved man. And that word gall is the word poisoned. Peter says, you, sir, have been poisoned by bitterness. And your heart's not right with God. Wow. So here we have an unsaved man poisoned by bitterness. I want to ask you a question. Don't answer out loud, but you think about this. Can a Christian be poisoned in the gall of bitterness? Don't answer yes. James asked the same question. Go back to James chapter 3. Most of God's people have excused and become comfortable with bitterness. And I would submit to you that your heart's not right with God. And I would submit to you that it goes deeper than what you think. So pick up, if you would, in James chapter 3 and look at verse number 9. James here is addressing inappropriate behavior. He's addressing holiness and righteousness. He's just finished addressing the tongue. Now look at verse number 9. He said, verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil. It's full of deadly what? Here's that word poison again. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Please tell me you don't come to church and bless God and then curse everybody you see. Okay. Verse 11, here's the question James asks. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? So my question to you is this. If I go over there and I get a drink out of that water fountain, it's going to be fresh water. If I go back 2 minutes later and get a drink, what kind of water is coming out of that fountain? If I go back 6 weeks from now and get a drink out of that fountain, what kind of water is coming out of that fountain? That water fountain will not give me fresh water one moment and bitter water the next moment. It's impossible. Verse number 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Nope. You plant a fig seed, you're going to get a fig tree, you're going to get figs. You plant olive berries, you're going to get an olive bush, and you're going to get olive berries. Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It's impossible. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his conversation or his manner of life his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and what's that next two words? Lie not against the truth. Pastor, Are you saying what I think you're saying? Are you saying that a Christian cannot be poisoned by bitterness to the point that bitterness is the drive in life, in the motivation of their life? James says, can you get salt water out of a fresh water? Can you plant a fig tree and get olives? Can you plant an olive tree and get figs? Can you say you know Christ and be bitter? Keep reading. Verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from what? Above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that do what, class? That make peace. Time out, Pastor. I'm a little bit nervous because the truth is I do carry bitterness. And the truth is I've carried it a long time. There's a warning in God's people. It's found in the book of Hebrews. If you would go to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men. And what's that word, class? Holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of what? Springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There's a warning to God's people to not even let bitterness begin to root in your life. Once bitterness begins to root in your life, it grows like wildfire. Come back, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. I told you I would go there. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're told to grieve not, verse number 30, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. That's admonition to the believer that you're not to tolerate bitterness. Verse number 23 of the same chapter says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in what, class? In true holiness. Simon was an unsaved man in the gall of bitterness, poisoned in bitterness in his life, motivated by the love of money and envy. And Peter said, your heart's not right with God. Then he said this, you don't even have part with God. You have no part in this lot. Matter of fact, you better pray. You better pray. Colossians chapter 3. Come on, don't quit on me now. You've done well. Verse number one. If ye then be risen with Christ, which means if you're saved, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What's the very first word of verse number 5? Mortify, take death to, put to death. Therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate, infection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived. How, class? This is a description of a man not saved. Verse number 8. But now ye also put off these, which is also a description of an unsaved man: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. Would somebody please help me with this verse? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are. I think God looks at bitterness a whole lot more serious than we look at bitterness. And I think when you read the Bible about bitterness, you will never find it as the ordinary, habitual part of a saved person's life. A saved person, when they feel bitterness rooting, will pluck it up by the root. They won't fashion it and get comfortable with it and love it and let it grow. Bitterness will destroy you. Bitterness will destroy the work of God, the people of God. And the devil can use bitterness probably as much in our lives as he can use anything. Pastor, I'm not bitter. Go, if you would, to Psalm 64. Psalm 64 is David writing about his enemy. And in Psalm 64, David says some things about his enemy that I really do believe will shine light on the wickedness of bitterness. Verse number 1. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide from me the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet or sharpen their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even say those two words, bitter words. Now, David is coming to God, and David is saying, now, God, I've got an enemy. And the enemy is trying to destroy me. And he says, the enemy is making an insurrection and iniquity, and the enemy has taken his bow, and he sharpened his arrows, and he's launching bitter words at me. How do you know if you're a bitter person? You speak bitter words. Not only do you speak bitter words, you use those words like arrows designed to destroy. You sharpen them. You phrase them. You countenance them. You context them. You think you're in secret, then you shoot your arrow. He goes on. Verse number 4, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. And suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. Who don't they fear? God. You see, bitterness is something that for the most part we can hide. We bury it. But it's there and it motivates. And it multiple times in the Bible, when the Bible talks about bitterness, the Bible immediately goes to the words. Out of their mouth was cursing and bitterness, the tongue with poison and bitterness, shooting bitter words. And so in the secretness where nobody sees, but then I unleash bitter words and I don't have any fear because nobody sees my bitterness. God sees everything in our heart. Verse number 5 is a fascinating verse. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. That's what bitter people do. They sit around. I'm going to take my Bible with me. They sit around, and in the secretness of their life, maybe in the little bit with their friends, they encourage themselves in their evil. Well, I've been mistreated. Well, I've done this, or they've done that. And so, got to keep encouraging myself in my bitterness. He says that they can encourage themselves in an evil manner. They commune of laying snares privately, and they say, who's going to see this? Who's going to see me? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. You know, bitter people are concentrated people. And they concentrate and focus on what they're bitter or who they're bitter about. They analyze their life. They know where they are. They know what they do. They see what they are. They have fun. They understand where they have problems. Everything. They're just constantly searching out things. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is what? Deep. Deep. Bitterness is deep in the heart of man. Verse number 7. But God shall shoot at them. Wow. Does that verse get anybody else's attention other than mine? So the bitter person, and David says, that bitterness is deep in your heart, and God's going to shoot you. I guarantee you, God's a good shot. God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves, all that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord. If that's you, say amen. And shall trust in him. And all the upright in what? Heart shall glory. Man, did David lay open bitterness. So the question is, can a saved person be in the gall of bitterness? Can a saved person be poisoned by bitterness? Can a saved person live secret life of bitterness? And James would say, can't get fresh water out of a salt fountain, can't get salt water out of a fountain. If I put a fig in the ground, I'm going to get a fig back. Well, Pastor, can you be a Christian and have bitterness? Yeah. Bitterness has the ability to root in our lives, but we put it off. We're convicted by it. We want it plucked up. We reckon that that's of our old man. And saved people should want to honor the Lord. Yeah, good message, Pastor. You're getting better. But I'm not bitter. Got to go to Proverbs 14. You got to go to Proverbs 14. Verse number 10. Just let your eyes fall on it, then I'll read it. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Pastor, I'm not bitter. Yeah, you are. And you know it. And you know it. Motivated by envy and strife. Seeking the destruction and shooting arrows at people, at the Lord. Deceitful and hiding, encouraging yourself in evil. Concentrated on their ever doing. God says, your heart knows it. The Bible says that God knows our hearts. So I would ask you, Christian, where are you with bitterness? Where are you with bitterness? Ephesians chapter 4 will be our last verse. Most bitterness deals around the subject of forgiveness. Let all bitterness, verse 31, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye, what's that word, class? Kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the opposite of bitterness. The opposite of bitterness is forgiveness. The opposite of bitterness of that hard-hearted is tender-hearted. The opposite of bitterness is understanding that God forgave me. And if God forgave me, then I should be able to forgive others. Now hear what the pastor says, because I'll base this statement on the Word of God. Every single born-again Christian has the ability to forgive. Only unsaved people cannot forgive. Because when the Spirit of God comes into you, He brings the forgiveness of God that God had for you and to be passed down to others. So if I reject forgiveness and I harbor bitterness, you can't plant a fig tree and get olive berries. Pastor, I know I'm saved, but I struggle with bitterness. Then the evidence that you are saved is that you will put off your bitterness, not harbor the bitterness. Well, Pastor, I don't want to forgive. But as a Christian, I'm told to forgive. Amen. Okay. So let's just be biblically right. It's not hard feelings. It's bitterness. To be poisoned by it is to be evidence of the old man. To struggle with it, to repent of it, to snip that root and pluck that root when it gets there, to put it off, is the evidence. But when you cross over to the line of a life filled with deceit and envy and sneakiness, and you're unleashing bitter words as arrows and destruction, you're in the poison of bitterness. And that's not godly. I love the Bible. If you love the Bible, say amen. Okay, shall we pray?